I honor God for his grace and mercy in my life, his faithfulness to his word. He has kept me. He is keeping me. He promised to do that. He is renewing my strength. He is renewing my youth. Hallelujah. This past Friday, I have an uncle who has the same birthday. He turned 90. And we were there at my uncle's home, and Pastor Marisa started asking questions about our family and background. And it was just amazing, the things that he shared. And one of the things that I did not know was, not only was my grandfather a pastor, my great-grandfather was a pastor. And both of them founded their own churches. And so as I'm listening to him talking, and both my grandfather, great-grandfather, their names were William as well. William Thomas Stevenson. My name is John William Stevenson. I'm named after my grandfather. Didn't know I was also named after my great-grandfather as well. And I was talking to my uncle, and I was just saying it's important to know this, because it's important when you're trying to track legacy and lineage. And to see this being passed down from generation to generation, this call, this assignment, it adds some strength to you. It adds some greater sense of focus to you. And you recognize, I didn't just stumble into this. I was just willing to say yes. And there's something about, you don't have to worry about, if you just say yes, God will start to bring the pieces together for you, no matter what it is. Sometimes we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to make it all work in our own hearts and minds first before we say yes. But I love the grace of God, the mercy of God, that he will come to us in one season of our lives. And if we happen to not be in the place to say yes, he'll just wait another season and come back again, particularly if that which he is talking about is part of the purpose and destiny for which you were born. And we see that with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, how that Abraham, God comes to him and tells him he's going to make him the father of many nations. And then he says to him, leave your family, come with me, I'm going to take you to a place, I'm going to show you a land. And Abraham says yes, but he still isn't sure. And we see that by the way he walks out that first leg of his journey, only to get to chapter 15, and God says to him again. I like the way someone once phrased it, the deal is still on the table, Abraham. Because Abraham went through some challenges, he wasn't real sure about some things. And how many of you know, when you're following God, there's a lot of times you're not sure about things. Come on, there's a lot of times when you're not sure about things, you're not sure about yourself, and if we're honest, you're not even sure about God in some of those instances, because sometimes it just isn't adding up. And this faith walk really is a journey. Say, it's a journey. It's a journey that we're on, and we're growing in our faith. So between Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis 15, Abraham grew. When he started out, he was nervous, he was scared. He showed up with the king, I think it was Abimelech, and he thought that they were going to kill him for Sarah. So he said, Sarah, tell them you're my sister. And so he had her lie so that he wouldn't die. And all he did was really, come on, say this. He took matters into his own hands. Yeah. And if we're not intentional, and if we're honest, there's seasons in our lives when we take matters into our own hands. And we're not saying, God, I'm not going to allow you to be in control of this. Sometimes we're just still navigating through faith. We're still coming into a place of faith and trust. Say trust. You do understand that trust builds, grows over time. How many of you can say in this season of your life, I trust God? Now, but how many of you be honest enough to say early on in your walk, I didn't trust God back then like I trust him now? Why? What's happened is experiences, and God has proven himself over seasons of your life and circumstances. Well, that's what he did with Abraham. So by the time he gets to chapter 15 of Genesis, he's saying, Abe, listen. Okay, so all these things have happened, and scripture says, after these things, meaning all that he went through, he comes back to him and says, the first time he said to him, you know, if you can count the sand on the seashore, that's how great your descendants will be. But then when he comes back to him in 15, he says, now look up. Look up. He said, lift up your head. Look up. If you can count the stars, that's how great your descendants will be. He's saying to him, Abraham, the deal is still on the table. Walk with me. Walk with me. What I love about God in this season is he has said to me, the deal is still on the table. Walk with me. Trust me, son. Stay with me on this. Because one of the things that we often don't really understand is the price we pay to walk out purpose and destiny. Usually, we think we have some sense, but we really don't know. One of the assurances that you do have is that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. An assurance you do have is the word of God. He said, my word will go forth, not return to me empty, void. It will accomplish that which I please and prosper whereunto the thing that I sent it. The assurance that you and I do have is that God knows what he's doing. And he makes no mistakes. And so I'm encouraged by the faithfulness of God. A renewed sense that he is accomplishing his will, his way. And I want to encourage you as well. Wherever you find yourself, in whatever season of life you're in, as a born-again believer, it is God's will for you to succeed. It is God's will for you to prosper. It is God's will for you to be blessed. It is God's will for you to flourish. It is God's will for you to succeed in every way. So I say to you, even as I have said to myself, so shake off the stuff. Shake off the stuff. Come on, shake off the stuff and receive the grace. Shake off the weight and receive the grace. Shake off the weights and receive the favor. Shake off oppression. Shake off depression and receive the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Come on, that's a good place to clap right there. I'm already preaching. I think y'all still waiting for me to take a text, but I think I just did a minute ago. And I'm just going with where I need to go today for the sake of those of you that are here and those that are listening. Yeah, I know there's a pandemic out there, and I know there's some racial stuff we got to deal with. But I'm hearing from God right now, and he's saying, I want my people encouraged to know that I'm still with them. To know that I'm still with them. And not only is he with us, he's walking it out with the same weight, the same feelings that you and I deal with. Sometimes we really think out of this mindset that we pray and God is so far away. I hope he hears me. I hope he recognizes what I'm going through. I hope that he comes through. He's saying, no, you got to recognize I'm in you. I'm in you. I'm in you. I go where you go. Whatever you say, I hear it. Whatever you see, I see it. That's a little scary, isn't it? Whoever you're around, I'm around them too. I see an opportunity right now for us, the body of Christ, the church. As I talk to many of my peers and those that I relate to, we dialogue about what do we think should be happening right now? What do we think we should be doing right now? And there's one part of the body of Christ, Lynn, that wants to get back to normal. But I want to encourage us. Hear me when I say this. God is not working us back into the place of normal. He's pulling us into a place of new. He's pulling us into a place of new. It's a new day. Old has passed away. We sang that last week. It's a new day. Old has passed away. All things. Yeah. It's a new day. All right, Eric. Yeah, yeah. It's a new day. It's a new day. The old is passed away. Come on, say it. Say it. Say it. Come on. It's a new day. The old has passed away. Come on, sing it one more time. Come on. It's a new day. Old has passed away.
The old has passed away.
All things.
All things are new.
Yeah.
All things are new.
So as we sing this song and we think about the words to the song, one of the things that we have to recognize when we say every word is coming to pass, you and I must recognize that when Jesus speaks concerning his word and that word has gone forth, listen to me, that word is working in ways often that you and I don't understand. It's working in ways that you and I could not have predicted. Can I tell you this? Sometimes that word is working in ways that makes it uncomfortable for you and I, but the word of God is being fulfilled. So let me share an example with you. Then I want to talk about where we're at right now. Because you see, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, you're going to be my witnesses. He says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Now, he spoke his word. Say, he spoke his word. He said, my word will go forth, not return to me void, but accomplish that which I please and prosper whereunto the thing that I have sent it. So he spoke his word, and after he spoke his word, he left. But the word is still working. Now, but the disciples, the followers, they all went back to their various homes and various locations, not recognizing that this word is in process. Not recognizing this word is in process. What words has God spoken to you? What words have you said yes to, forgot you said yes to, and that process is working right now? And so even as that word is working, hear me now, things begin to shift around you to bring about the fulfillment of that word. And so we see that a time comes when it says the church is under great persecution. And what happens? They disperse as a result of the persecution, as a result of the difficult times. And where did they go? They went from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. So let's fast forward to here and now. I was saying a moment ago, I'm having conversations with many of my brothers and sisters in the Lord, those that are pastoring churches and over ministries and just believers. And there is this variety of thought relative to where we're at and what we believe should be happening. Some believe that it is a season of not necessarily judgment, but it's a season of God allowing some things to be dealt with. Okay? Yeah. Others believe that this is a season of an attack of the enemy, and there needs to be a level of warfare. Some believe that if we just wait it out, things are going to get back to normal. Everybody's going to start coming to church again without masks, without social distancing, and we'll go back to the way things were. Now, the first two things I said, I believe those dynamics are real and they're happening. What I don't believe is we're to wait for things to get back to normal. One of my spiritual sons wrote a song years ago, said, I won't go back to the ways it used to be. So what I want to encourage us around heirs, I want to encourage believers around is, let's quit thinking about how we get back and start pressing into how we're going to move forward. Can I get just three of y'all to clap? Maybe four of y'all, maybe five, maybe a church full. Come on. Come on. Come on, I want to go forward. Do you want to go forward? I want to go forward. I want to go forward. We need to go forward. And so God sovereignly, now understand that the scriptures already help us to know. This isn't revelation, it's Bible. If you read your Bible, it speaks of the times. It speaks of the conditions and the times before the end of time, before Christ returns. And so all the things we're seeing right now, you can find them in the scriptures. You just got to read your Bible. But having read those things, what we also have to see it through is the lens, the eyes of kingdom people that help us to recognize, hear me, the opportunity that you and I have to make a difference now. One of my brothers, he and I were talking last night. He said, you know, we've got to recognize that God has allowed things to move such a way to get us to spread out. Unlike any other time that I've known, more ministries, more churches, regardless of what level they're doing it on, have hit the airways. Yeah, it's in the air. The word is in the air. The word is on the World Wide Web. Come on. And it's not just for the technically savvy now. Thank God that there is who's the guy that started Facebook? Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah. He didn't know what he was doing. But God knew. And so now it don't even have to cost you anything. All you got to do is have an account, have a page. And so now, unlike in other times, the word is going forth. And we as the church have to recognize that's part of God's plan. Is there the benefit of corporate gatherings? Yes. But one of the things that's starting to happen now is I believe God is giving opportunity for us to think differently about it. So that when we gather, we're gathering specifically for a specific assignment that then causes us to go back out to accomplish our assignments as kingdom ambassadors who are called to transform your world. Is the church coming to church a place where people can be born again and saved? Absolutely. But I've always, and my ministry started in evangelism. I had a team of folks, a worship team, and we would travel. We went into prisons, correctional institutions. We'd set up on street corners, and we'd minister to people and see those on drugs get set free. And we ministered to a lot of people get filled with the Holy Spirit right out in the streets. So I understand and I know evangelism. But the church is not the place to bring people to get them saved. I've never believed that. Now, do people get saved coming to church? Absolutely. But there's nowhere in the scriptures where Jesus said, or any of the apostles said, when you find people, bring them into. No. Right where you're at. Right there with them. Once they're born again, you bring them to meet the family. I want to introduce you to some of the family. You know what that does? It removes the need to be seeker sensitive. Don't want to offend anybody, so we don't want our worship. I want to say to you, those that are listening, the only reason we're not doing our worship live is because we don't have it set up quite yet to get the sound that we want. So I just want you to know that. But if you're really interested in our worship, then just come on out. Show up about 10:30 or a little earlier for prayer. By the time we're logging on, we're moving more into the word, our expression of giving, and maybe some worship. But the worship here, God is moving in incredible ways. We just don't stream it because we don't have it set up yet that will cause it to translate where you're at the way it is here. So I want you to understand that. I believe in the power of the corporate gathering. But one of the things that's changing now is, you know, and hear me, it's okay to invite people to church who don't know the Lord. But I also want to say to you, don't shirk your responsibility to speak to them. If you're bringing them to church, you got that kind of relationship, you can bring them to church, then you got that kind of relationship that you can minister to them salvation. It's a new day. The old has passed away. It's a new day. The old has passed away. Ah, yeah. It's a new day. The old has passed away. All things. So one of the things I see now, I gave you the example of the early church through persecution. Now they're fulfilling the word. One of the things that God is allowing to happen is for the church now to look for new ways of expression concerning our worship. I'm not talking about new songs. I'm talking about new expressions of our worship. People are now having to come into the reality, although we've said it for years and years and years and years, that you shouldn't be coming to church. You are the church. You come to a place of worship. If the church, if Aaron's Covenant Church was not in this building, then there would be no church in the building. When I get up any given day of the week, I don't say I'm going to church, like coming to my office. I say I'm going to the embassy. What makes this a church, one is we have dedicated it. It is sacred because we've made it that. Your presence, His presence. So there's a shift that's happening now in the minds of many believers to really recognize you are the church. You are the church. We are the church. Wherever you go any given time to worship, that's a house of worship. It's a place of worship. And so what I see is God has sovereignly allowed these events to take place in order to shift the body of Christ. Will we continue to gather? Yes, we will. But I believe gathering is going to start to look a little different. It's not going to have the same meaning that it once had. I believe it's going to be a heightened meaning to it, but it's going to be because we've gone some places now, or we're going some places now that we haven't gone before. That it really will be a place of healing and a place of restoration, a place of deliverance, a place where people can receive wholeness. Because what's being tested as well, and what weighs in the balance, and what many are having to come to grips with, is whether they've lived their life out of a religious place or a relational place with God. So now, God has allowed some things to happen to impact everyone's lives. We have the pandemic. We were dealing with this virus. As a result of that, it has affected the economy. Through the death of a number of blacks, it would appear that the death of George Floyd was the tipping point, not just for our nation, but for the world. And so here we are. Here we are. And it's not by chance, hear me, it's not by chance that this is all happening in 2020. The year of seeing and believing. It's not by chance that it's happening in the year for our nation of an election, the highest office in the land. All of this plays into God's plan. And you would do well, we would do well to keep our eyes on Him and keep pressing in to fully understand it. To the degree that we can. Because God is not making this up. He's not sitting somewhere trying to figure out how to make it work. He knows the end from the beginning. It's already laid out. And so again, my encouragement is don't keep waiting for things to get back somewhere. Start looking as to where you need to go, where we need to go. What does the new look like, Philip, for you? What does the new look like for me? What does it look like for you, Sean? What does it look like for your kids? Children's ministry as we once knew it is over. Youth ministry is different now. We had some wonderful years of children's ministry and youth ministry, but all of that now has shifted. And the church, the body of Christ, we must be like the sons of Issachar, discerning of the times. We have to be in the place that we see before it happens. And we've already made the adjustment. The challenge with the church is we're always 5-10 years behind. Not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. I said not anymore. Not anymore. You got to start doing things when nobody else thinks it even matters. You got to start doing things when it makes sense to nobody else. You got to start doing things right now because down the road, it's going to make sense. Down the road, there's going to be an aha moment. Oh, that's what that was for. That level is in the church. That level is in the body of Christ. We can no longer wait. We must press in to that place in God. And what He says do, do it even if it doesn't make sense. Quit waiting to get affirmation. Quit looking for confirmation. We, the church, we must be proactive and not reactive. You must be proactive, not reactive. the benefit of the prophetic ministry and operation is it will allow you to be proactive, not reactive. The benefit of apostolic ministry is it'll cause you to move out in some areas even when no one else can see it. But later on, aha, now I see what I couldn't see, but you could see it. This season for the body of Christ is about coming into a greater place of clarity concerning your assignment. You. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to every born-again believer who names the name of Christ. This is your season to get clear on your assignment. Where are you supposed to be? Who are you supposed to be talking to? Who are you supposed to be relating to? Who are you supposed to be moving away from? Who are you supposed to be gathering with that causes you to have a greater clarity in this season? This season is our opportunity to peer into the future, see what God sees, say what we see, and walk in it. To look into the future, see what God sees, say what we see, and then walk in it. Look into the future. See what God sees. Hear what He says. Say what we see. Say what He said. And then walk in it. Look into the future. That's what he did with Abraham. Let me show you something, Abraham. Let me show you something. Then he comes back again and says, let me show you something again. Let me show you something. Again. Let me show you something. Again, let me show you something. Again, let me show you. I'm speaking to someone. I'm speaking to someone that's hearing this, and you've lost your vision. You've lost your perspective. Life has caused you to have double vision, doubting. And he says, let me show you something again. Let me show you something again. Let me show you something again. So don't allow yourself to get stuck on the pandemic. Don't allow yourself to get stuck with the racial issues we're dealing with. Don't allow yourself to get stuck with the financial conditions that we find ourselves dealing with. Just don't get stuck. Yes, it's there. Yes, it's a reality for all of us. But focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. And everything will begin to find its proper space as it relates to the will of God for you, for his church, and for his kingdom. Look into the future. See what God sees. Say what he says.